Okay, we're picking up today's daf in Aleph Amud Aleph. We are three lines from the top of the Aleph Amud Aleph and the Mishnah Loki Samvod Yom. So the Mishnah is continuing with the halachas of insulating of Hatmana. And we're going to discuss that again on Erev Shabbos, before Shabbos begins, you're allowed to insulate Medavar She'ena Mosif Hevel, something that's not going to be adding heat, just preserving the heat. So it says the Mishnah, Loki Samvod Yom. If a person forgot or didn't cover the pot and he didn't insulate it already before Shabbos, then a person is not allowed to cover it after dark, meaning once that it's too late, that once Shabbos begins, it's too late to insulate it, even with something that is not going to be adding heat. Even covering it, it's going to be usur. Why? Because we're afraid a person is going to be tempted to reheat it. That's the gzera. So therefore, on Shabbos itself, it's going to be usur to do that. However, before Shabbos, since you prepared it, we're not afraid you're going to come to reheat it. So therefore, it's going to be mutter. So kisov niskala mutter lekasoso. If someone covered it before Shabbos began, before it became dark out, and then it uncovered, then you're allowed to cover it again. Okay? So meaning that is if you can cover it before dark, you're allowed to cover it after Shabbos begins. That's how Tosos explained it. Others explain that no, if the pot became uncovered after Shabbos, a person would be allowed to recover it. And even intentionally, if you want to uncover it for whatever reason to see, is it, are you ready to eat? And then you decide, no, you're going to eat a half hour later, you'd be allowed to cover it again, put it back on. That's how many Rishonim explain this Lashon of the Mishnah. Okay? The Mishnah continues, Mimale Sakita, and one is allowed to fill a bottle with ashes with cold water, Venosin Tachal Karo Keses, and place it under the pillow or a cushion in order to keep it cold. You dafka don't want it to get hot, so it's very hot outside, and you wanted to put it, even on Shabbos, you're allowed to put it in a cushion or a pillow to keep it cold. So the Gemara now says, Amar Yudam or Shmuel, so now they quoted the Namoro, Shmuel, and then the name of Shmuel, they say, Mutter Latman at Tatonah, and someone is permitted to insulate cold food on Shabbos. So the Gemara asks, why do you have to tell us this? It's a Beferish Mishnah. Usually Amoraim don't tell you things that are clear in the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, Amar Yosef, my Kamash Mantanina. We already learned this in our very Mishnah. What do we say? Mimala Adam Kiton Vinosin Tachas Arkaro Tachas Akeses. That one is allowed to fill a bottle of cold water and place it under a cushion, right? Or the pillow or the cushion and keep it cold on Shabbos. That's going to be mutter. So why are you telling me this chiddush? There's no chiddush at all. There's nothing new. The Mishnah already told us this. The Gemara says, no. I'm really a baye tuva kamashon. There's a few halachas. It's very important for us to tell us this. Why? De'i mas nisin. Because if you only tell the Mishnah, I would have thought, havamina namile bedavar she'in darko. Lehatmin. I would have thought that this only applies to things which generally are, not insulated in order to warm them up. That people don't normally keep water in a situation, like the cold water, not normally insulated. Then I would say, people don't want it to, meaning it's impossible to get it. If you really wanted hot water, no one would put it in something that doesn't add heat to it, because that's never going to get it hot. However, aval davar shadarku lahatmin lo, but when it comes to food, Rashi says, food, right, when it comes to cooked food, normally people might insulate it. In a situation, they would order to warm it up, they might insulate in this thing. I would have thought that maybe in order to keep it cool, maybe you would make a gzera that it's usar, because people would maybe would be matmin it, would normally insulate it in order to warm it up even slightly, as opposed to water, which people never do. So then, kamashman, there's a chiddush over here that Shmuel is telling us across the board, it's mutter, it's not problem of insulating in order to keep it cold. That's not called isra of hatmana. That is not what Chazal referring to when they had the idea of insulating being usar. Okay, that's what the Gemara says. Now we're continuing. Amar of Huna, and they change the gear to Amar Rebbe. So the name of Rebbe now, Asr Lahatmin et Tatonin. It's Asr to insulate cold food on Shabbos. The Gemara asks about Tanya, Rebbe Heter Lahatmin. We have a Kasha though. The Braisa tells us that Rebbe said that it's Mutter to. It's mutter to insulate cold food. So the Gemara says, lo kasha, there's no question about this. So this ruling of Rebbe was issued before he heard that Rabbi Shmuel, the son of Rabbi Yossi, was Mekel. After he heard that he was Mekel, then he retracted and was Mekel as well. He said that it's going to be mutter to insulate with cold food. Kihadi Yosef Rebbe Amar. So the following statement, this failing story happened. Rebbe once was sitting and he says, Asr la'atmin et tatzon, and he said in the shir, it's usr to insulate cold food on Shabbos, because he does make, he's afraid that we should make a gzir across the board, and that when people get confused, they don't know what's mutter, what's usr. So therefore, it's always usr to insulate, even if you want to, all you're doing it is to preserve, it's cold and make sure it's not getting hot. That's why you're doing it. So the Gemara says, Amar lefana, so the Talmidim told him, Amar lefana, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yosef. They said, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi said, but sorry, not the Talmid, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi himself said before Rebbe, Abba Yitu Lahatmin et Atzonin, that my father, meaning Rabbi Shmuel, he allowed us to insulate cold food on Shabbos. So once Rabbi heard this in the middle of the shir, he says, Amar Kfar HaZaken, Rabbi retracted, and he said that the Zaken, meaning Rabbi Yossi, had ruled on the matter, and therefore I am going to follow his opinion and be Mekil. So Rabbi originally thought he should be Machmer, and we see how much covered he had, so much covered he had that he was Mekil. So the Gemara now says, Amar of Papa, Borei Kamachab and Zedzit. See how great these Tanayim cherished each other, how much they held, how so much respect for each other. She'ilu Rabbi Yossi Kaya, Maya Kofa Yosef Ne Rebbe. For Rabbi Yosef himself had been alive, so then he would have sat before Rebbe. We know that so how do we know this? Because Rabbi Shmuel, who was his son, he who took over for his father, Kofa Yosef Ne Rebbe, he sat before Rebbe, meaning we see over here that he was Kofa before Rebbe. He was subordinate to Rebbe, and Vekamar HaKvar HaZaken, and yet, so we see over here that Rebbe was considered of a higher position. He was the Nasi, he was the head ruler, and yet he was being Mekel. Just to give a little background about who we're talking about over here, Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Yossi was the last generation Tanaim. Rebbe, right, who finished the Mishnayos, that is the end of the period of Tanaim. His Talmud was Rav, right? Rav was already basically Tanaim, he was a borderline, a Mora Tana. This was the last generation of Tanaim, and his father is Rabbi Yossi Stam in the Mishnah. Whenever you say Rabbi Yossi, that was his father over here. So we see that Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, who was the head of the Sanhedrin, he was the head. Anyone had to listen to anything that he said, basically. So, nevertheless, we understand that even though he had this position, which was great, a great position, because of his great humility, the Amiri says that he agreed to Rabbi Yossi. He didn't need to. He was the Nasi. He was the head of the generation. But since he heard that this was the psak of Rabbi Yossi, he did not have to be kafal. And it might even be that Rabbi Yossi was greater in learning, but still not the Nasi. Either way, since he had the position of the Nasi, Rabbi Yehuda didn't have to listen to anyone and could have passed him. We see how much cover the Torah he has. A famous story with Rishon Zalman. The Rishon Zalman is the Gadol HaDor in Eretz Yisrael, Mamash, so the pillar of Torah. And when he wanted to argue under Moshe Feinstein, I think he called him or sent a letter, I forgot which one he called him and asked for a shus to write a tshuva against Rav Moshe. How much cover he had? Rav Shlomo Zalman was the gadol ador, could write any psak he wants. He felt that Rav Moshe Feinstein is the gadol, and therefore if he wants to argue in the psak of Moshe, specifically about Hatzalah, about the Hatzalah members returning on Shabbos, that's the psak that the Hatzalah that Rav Moshe read, I think Rav Shlomo Zalman on that wanted to speak to him and ask for a shus to argue. Whenever Rav Shechter says this story, he always cries how much cover these gadolim had for each other. Okay, continuing the Gemara now. The Gemara says, Amar later of Nachman Adara Abder, Nachman said to Dara his servant, Atmin Letzonin, insulate some cold food for me. So that was the first halacha. He told him, Vaisi Lemaya, Da'aflami Kapela Aramai. And also, give me some water that was heated up by, meaning literally Aramean, who was not Jewish. So Rav Nachman was telling us two halachas over here. Firstly, that it's mutter to be matmin to do insulation with cold food. That's the first one. And the second one is that the water heated up by a Jew, by a non-Jew rather, that there's no issue of a non-Jew heating up water. So Mar says, Shema Rebbe Ve'ikbid, Rebbe Ami. Rebbe Ami heard this and was upset. He objected to these halachas. So the Gemara says, why was Rabbi Ami upset? Amar Rav Yosef, my time Ekbid, why did you get upset? Rav Yosef said to him, Kir Rav Yosef Avid, Rav Nachman was following his two primary rabbim. Rav Nachman was a Talmud of Shmuel and Rav. Chada Kir Rav, Chada Kir Shmuel. So we see that he was following his rabbim, Shmuel and Rav. What is that? Kir Shmuel, Demar Vidamar Shmuel, Mutter, Lahat Benetzon. The first halacha is that Shmuel says Beferish, that it's Mutter, it's permitted for one to insulate with cold food on Shabbos. So we see, what was the problem? Why are you upset with him? And also Kir Rav, what's the halacha of Rav? Demar Shmuel, Demar Yitzhak, Amar Rav. Kol Shu, Necha, Kamot Shuchai, Ein Bo Mishum, Bishulei Nachrim. Anything which is normally in raw is not going to be subject to a non-Jew cooking food. So we know that in general, that with the Chachamim made a gzira in order to prevent assimilation with Goyim, to have them intermarry, they decided that a person is not allowed to eat food that was cooked by a non-Jew. We're not afraid, meaning we're not, as all exclusions aside, of assuming that we're not afraid of kashrus issues. It was not a kashrus issue. It was a problem that were coming to gzira chasness, of getting intermarrying with them and getting close with the Goyim. So it removes us far from them to have them cook for you. So therefore, the halacha over here is telling you that the Chachamim didn't make the decree in situations where the cooking is not significant, like here, where the food is allowed to be is able to be eaten without being cooked. So the gzera of chasnas doesn't apply. It's not a major operation over here of cooking. So therefore, we don't apply the general halacha of a non-Jew cooking food for one being aser. So the Gemara says, though, so why was Rav Ami upset about both these cases? Because he savar Adam Chashu Shiny. Rav Ami was upset because he said, Rav Nachman is so chashuv. Everyone, as Rashi says, that if people are going to see him, say, oh wow, he's making it like this, I'm going to be even more makel. So therefore, a person who's a big gadol ador has to be extra machmir in public, because you don't want people to see how makel is, because then they're going to come to you even more makel, and therefore maybe you should be machmir on yourself. Okay, so the Gemara continues now, following the lachas of a braisa. continuing about things that don't add heat. The Gemara says, "Tanarabanan, Alpha Bisharma, Intomna, Afilab Dever, Shin Mosif Hevel, Meshechashecha." Although the Rabbanim said that one is not allowed to insulate after it becomes dark out, even with something that doesn't add heat, Imbala Osif Mosif, if a person wants to, the pot was already insulated on Shabbos, then you want to add additional insulation, you want to add another layer, that would be mutter. He's allowed to. So the Gemara says, "Ketzer Osa, what does he do?" Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Notel Sadinin, Maniach Esagul, you're allowed to remove the sheets from the top of the pot and then place coats of them on top, which are much going to preserve the heat at more. The coats are much thicker, so you're allowed to do that. Or you can remove the coats and add sheets in their stead. You're allowed to switch it around, and it won't be a problem even if you completely removed what you had originally done. We're not afraid, since you already knew that you were doing this to insulate, it would not be a problem. There's a shayla in the Rishonim whether this is coming to argue. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel was arguing the Tanakhama or just. We just went with the fact that he was explaining it. So the Gemara continues now. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel also said, "Lo asru ela mecha." That the rabbis, when they said that it's asr on Shabbos, that is only when it's in the same pot as which it was cooked. However, pina mecha mecham mutter. If a person emptied the food from the pot which was cooked into another pot, it's going to be permitted to insulate on the second pot. That's the chiddush over here. The Gemara says, why is that? The Gemara says, because hashta ikureka mekar la artuchika mirtafa. So now, normally, what's the purpose? What are we afraid of when we have the isra of hatmana? The whole issue of hatmana, we see many times, is that a person is going to be tempted to reheat the food by insulating before he insulates in the second food if you allow him to do it on Shabbos. That's why we only allow you to do it on Erev Shabbos. But in this situation, a guy, by definition, when you put something in one pot and pouring it into another pot, that makes it colder. That's showing that you don't want it to be any hotter. So then obviously there's not going to be a gzera of hatmana, and therefore since this guy showed that he doesn't want it to be hot, it's going to be, there's not an issue of therefore of insulating it at that point. The Rambam learns, and the Rambam learned like this as well, and this is actually quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, that this would be telling you that any klisheni, any time a person pours from one pot to the other, is not going to be a problem of hatmana, of insulating. And that is quoted by some posting. Mishnah Berurah seems to go with this a little bit. And that's why the Chazon Ish would discuss the case of the famous case of whether using a thermos cup, right? It insulates the heat. So why is it mutter on Shabbos? If you take drape directly from the hot water urn, assuming one that you had on like the Shabbos hot water urn, and put it into a thermos that's keeping the heat, why is that okay? That's being matmin on Shabbos. So the Chazon Ish quotes from this Gemara, quotes based on the Rambam and the Ran, that over here the Gemara says that if it's in a klisheni, it's not an issue of hatman anymore. That's not so pasha, but that's what the Chazon Ish held. Just comes mamish from this Gemara over here, that once you put it in a klisheni, that is not going to be a problem. Okay, the Gemara continues now with the idea of muktzah. We saw some things using some items from muktzah, how you let him move it with regards to insulation once you insulate it. The Gemara continues now. Taman v'kisa b'davar nito b'shabbos. If someone insulated the pot around its sides and he covered it, meaning you covered the opening with something that is allowed to be moved, meaning something that's not muktzah, then even if you insulate it with something that is not allowed to be moved, meaning it's muktzah on Shabbos, but however you covered it with something that is allowed to be moved, so you're using the cover, that's going to be holding it. Hareza notel l'machzir. In that situation, a person is allowed to remove the pot and replace that pot on Shabbos. However, if he insulated the pot and covered it with something that is muktzah on Shabbos, or if he insulated it with something that may not be moved on Shabbos, but he covered it with something that, sorry, with something that can be moved, but he covered it with something that's not allowed to be moved, so then, if the rule is going to be the following, if part of the top part of the pot was open, meaning the muktzah item wasn't covering the part of the pot that you had to touch, then you're allowed to remove the pot and replace it, because you're not touching the muktzah item. However, imlav, if the entire opening of the pot was covered by the muktzah, then in a notel mafzer, a person is not allowed to remove the pot and replace it. Why? Because he can't take out the pot without removing the cover, and the cover is muktzah. So then, it's not going to be mutter for him to touch the pot in this manner. So basically, again, when the lid is covered with something not muktzah, it's hatter because you're not touching the muktzah. When you're going to touch the muktzah and have to move the muktzah, it is going to be usher. Okay. So the Gemara continues. Now, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, Na'ora shel pisham daka harehi kezeva. When it comes to fine flax comings, they're like manure, meaning that they add heat to the food and they're not allowed to be used for hatmana for Shabbos, because it's considered davar hamosif hevel. So the Gemara says, manichim mechem agave kedera agave kedera. So on Shabbos, a lot of persons are allowed to put a hot water in a kettle on top of a kettle or a pot on top of a pot. Avalo kedera al gabi mecha mecha magbeder. However, someone is not allowed to put on top of a kettle another type of pot, the top could be of a betzek, and seal the top with dough. Why not? Because you're better preserving the heat. The dough has to be prepared before Shabbos, and the dough is considered mukta. Otherwise, and that's the problem. Rashi says that this, all this, is not in order to heat up the food, meaning to place a cold item on top of the hot item in order to heat it up, but rather this is only that they already are going to just be maintaining the heat. That is only what's allowed. But davar mosif evel, even an erev Shabbos is going to be usher. We saw that adding heat to it on Shabbos. I just point out right now that we have that a lot of people have these Shabbos blankets, the Shabbos things that you put on top of the top of a blech. They cover your food. If the Shabbos blankets are covering all of your food, and it's all around, it's going in all the top and goes through the sides a little bit also, that is very problematic, because that's being hatmana on davar mosif hevel. That's us for even Erev Shabbos to create that, to put those things on Erev Shabbos. You have to make sure, at least for Ashkenazim, Sfardim is going to be more machmer if I remember correctly, but the Rama holds that it's not, as long as it's not completely insulated, it's still okay. So then you would have to make sure that it doesn't cover, it doesn't go from one end to the other end of all of your pots, that it doesn't cover all of your pots, as long as you leave part of it exposed of the Shabbos blankets, those Shabbos blankets, the Shabbos things, right? They say the Kavod Shabbos. So you have to make sure that they really are the Kavod Shabbos, that you do it properly and don't cover all of the pots. If you cover all the pots, again, you're going to have major issues. So the Gemara says, so this price is assuming that just as you don't insulate hot food, you're not allowed to insulate cold food. That was like the first sheet of Rebbe before you checked in the Tanam that we saw, before they said that it's Aser. The Gemara now quotes, the Gemara quotes Rabbi Yehuda, the son of Rabbi, however, retracted, right? We saw from the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, that's what we saw before, that he permitted insulin in cold food. That's how we hold, that it's mutter to do it in cold food. Now the Gemara quotes a final halacha, which is not related to the previous halacha about insulating. Someone is not allowed to crush snow or hail on Shabbos, in order that the water should flow out, and then you're going to use that water. Why not? So this is a three-way machlokas. Rashi says that you are being molded, which looks like a malacha. You're creating something. Why? Because when I crush it actively, what have I done? I've now looked like I've done a lacha bona. I've done something. It appears like I'm doing something usher on Shabbos, and therefore it's going to be usher. Others explain, no, that this is similar to the lacha of dash, which is squeezing out the fruit. It's a told of dash, rather. And so that usher is usher as well. And others say that it's nola, that not that you're actively doing something, but you've set up a situation where something now new. You had ice before and have a different form, and that's going to be usher. There's a very big nafka meaning for this purpose is not crushing the ice. Let's say I take ice out of my freezer and I want to put it in my cup. Is that going to be mutter? So if you go like Rashi and Molde, then it's totally fine, because as long as I'm not actively crushing it, it's fine. And if you put it, Lechora, according to the one that holds, the Ran, and those who say that it looks like a malacha of dash, is squeezing, also necessarily not be a problem. However, Nolad, those Rishonim, it would be problematic, because you are creating a new form. I took it out, it was ice, and now I'm making it water. So how do you get out of that? So the Shmir Shabbos Gilchasar says that based on that, a person should make sure whenever he's taking out ice, then he puts it into his, either the bucket that he's, if you have an ice bucket that they leave on the table on Shabbos, or they put it straight into their cup, put a little bit of water first. Because then it's not considered nola, because then if you put water and it's going into the water, then it's just water going into water. I mean, the ice is just melting in. Would not be a problem according to any shita, and that's lecharchila what a person should be doing if he's taking out ice on Shabbos. The best way to do that would be doing that by pouring water first in order to avoid this issue. Because again, the Gemara continues off about no snow latocha kos or latocha kara, that he's allowed to place the snow into a cup or bowl as long as he's not active in vein chushes. He doesn't have to be careful. He's not violating anything. So we see again that this situation, you're not directly melting it, is not going to be usher. That's lefi Rashi. But again, the way that the other Rishonim would explain that that's only mutter if you're putting it into water. However, if you're putting it straight into the cup, so again, a person has an ice bucket. Best thing to do is to put it into water. And just one other halacha is if you assume that creating something is usher, then it might be a problem also to freeze the make ice on Shabbos. That's a whole other shayla. And that lechachila would best be machmir not to make ice on Shabbos. That comes out from the sugi as well. Okay, based on that, we finish now the parak of hajjalach b'matonim, hajjalach b'matonim, hajjalach b'matonim. So now we're going to continue with halacha of v'meh v'hema yotze. So give a little 30-second introduction over here. Is that the Torah tells us that it's usher for an animal to do malacha. Right, the pasuk says that your animal should not do any work. That is not a general isser d'oraisa. It's an isser d'oraisa, but it's not going to be the isser d'oraisa of chiyuv misa. Rather, it's just a lav. So that okay. So some assume that maybe that's only mechamer, leading animal, but many rishonim assume that that's the source for an animal. It's an usher for an animal to do work for the person on Shabbos. Others say it's an isra. The pasuk says that you have to stop doing work, and also your animals, your donkey and your ox have to be at ease as well. So the Gemara, we learn from here, the two psukim tell us that even a person's animal is not allowed to do malacha for him. However, it's clear though that if the malacha is for the animal, it's good for the animal, right? Like even though, like grazing, let's say, even though grazing is part of the malacha of kotzer, which is an isra d'oraisa, however, since this is what the animal, it's, if you're preventing the animal from grazing, that's not going to be easing the animal, that's making it in pain, therefore it's for sure going to be mutter. However, other things, other malachas which are considered burdensome on an animal is going to be usur for an animal to do. This parak is mainly going to deal with one of those, is just taking from one rishus to the other rishus, like we saw before. The first parak we mentioned, and now some recognition, what is the public domain to private domain, rishus ha'yachid, rishus ha'rabim. So here as well, what is an animal allowed to go out, and what is an animal not allowed to go out? Meaning, an animal is allowed to go out wearing an article that is helpful and beneficial to the animal, and something that's beneficial to the animal and considered part of the animal's needs is going to be mutter. However, something else that's considered a burden for the animal, it's going to be usher. And the Rabbanan added, not just that, is that even things that might fall off, just like for, we're going to see the next parak about, for a human being also, for Bnei Adam, is also usher to go with things that you're afraid are going to fall off. So too as well over here, when it comes to your animal, they're going to say other things are usher, and the Gemara is going to discuss as well, for other reasons, the different things that are usher for the animal to go out on. Okay, so with that, we're ready to start the Mishnah, and the Mishnah now says, "Bema behema yotze." With what is an animal allowed to go? Bema ina yotze, and what is it not allowed to go out with on Shabbos? We mentioned before, which is going to be something that's considered a burden and not just a dormant, which is usher, as opposed to something that is necessary for the animal, beneficial for the animal, is allowed to go. Again, we're talking about into the public domain, and it's considered part of the animal and not considered carrying and a burden for the animal. So the Mishnah says that yotze agamal beavsar, that a camel is allowed to go out with its bit. And also a female camel is allowed to go out with its with the chotam. The Gemara is going to discuss what that is. Again, the Gemara is going to discuss what is these things. Vesus besher, and a horse is allowed to go with its chain. The chobale asher yotzin besher v'nimshata besher. All animals that were normally wear this type of chain are allowed to go with the chain and pulled by a chain on Shabbos. And the Mishnah mentions another halacha that not really halacha on Shabbos, but just wants to mention this. In Mazanalem, when it comes to if these chain became tameh, and it became tameh through a dead person, let's say it was in the same room as where the animal was in the chain, so the animal needs, the chain is now tameh, someone is allowed to sprinkle the water from the paraduma upon these chains even while they're on the animal's neck. That's the chedesh. Ever told them to come on, if someone immersed them even while they're in the place of the animal's neck, provided that you don't have a chatzitza over there. The Ritva just asks why in the world we'd have a havmina that you can't sprinkle it on the animal. So Ritva says because if you sprinkle the animal, touches the animal first, you have then passed, you have disqualified the water. So we're afraid maybe a guy is going to accidentally hit the animal instead of the chain. So we're not afraid, that's the Mishnah's chiddush, that we're not afraid of, you're allowed to sprinkle it onto the animal. So that says the Gemara now, my naka b'chatam, what does the Mishnah mean when it says using the this female camel with a chatam? So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbar Chana, naka chiruta b'zama de parzula. It's talking about a white female camel with a nose ring that's made of iron. That's what we're talking about over here, that they're allowed to go with that on Shabbos. Rashi says again that the hole is made for the animal's nose, it's leading the camel in that situation, and they're harder to control than other camels because it moves a lot, Rashi says, and it wants to run away, so therefore it needs a more powerful restraint. That's what we're discussing in this case over here. The Mishnah also said, the Budkin b'Parmaya, what is that? Amravuna, Chanra Luba b'Pagin d'Parzala. It means a donkey from the area of Luv that has an iron bit. So what is the where is this place of Luvas? So some say that it's based in Rotosos, it's Egypt. Others say there is from a Libyan area, that that's a Libyan donkey. Whatever it is, it was an animal that was very strong, as we're going to see. The Gemara says because Levi shadar zuze the Beit Chozai the mizben lecham le Luva. Levi sent money to Beit Chozai, a place in Bavel, for people to buy him this Luvian donkey because it was very choshen. Tzaru shadru le sari, so they wrapped up Levi's money and they sent it back with some grains of barley. The mimar to downgrade the chamrei sari and told him, when they gave back his money, that if you feed the donkey very good barley, then it's gonna be strong like this, like the donkey that you're trying to buy in that area of Beit Chozai. Why didn't they just go buy it for him? So Rashi says, because it was 6 months away, it was a very far journey, and he was spending a tremendous investment. They got this donkey, they're saying just feed the animal right, and then you don't have to go all schlep all the way over, they make us schlep all the way over there, give it this food, and it'll be very strong. Okay, so then the Gemara continues. Now, Amar Yudam Rav Shmuel. So the Gemara says that name of Shmuel. Now, Machlifin Lefnei Rebbe. They switch the case before Rebbe. They ask the following shaila: Shel Zol B'Shel Mal. That if you want to use one animal's a thing that's used to restrain one type of animal, the other type of animal, is it going to be mutter? Meaning, is a camel allowed to go out with that of a, like a nose ring, which is usually used for the female camel, is allowed to go out with a nose ring, and can a female camel go out with the bit that they use for the other one? So the Gemara now says, Rabbi's answer is naka be'asar loti ba'ilaf. So he says that when it comes to the female camel with the thing for the male camel, you don't have to ask the shayla. Why came into low mentor obey? Since the female camel, we shall, is much harder to stop it, and it's not going to be restrained by that, then masuyu, then it's going to be considered a burden, and therefore it's usher, because it's not helpful for the animal, and it's not helpful for you either. So therefore it's considered a burden, and it's going to be usher for it to go out on that on Shabbos. Kidibailach, the rather, she asked the question, when it comes to a camel, the nose ring, what's going to be the halacha? Came into sagil ba'asar. On the one that maybe since the thing that the bit that's stopping it is enough for an ordinary camel masuyah, then a nose ring is considered an excessive restraint, and therefore it's going to be a burden. It's going to be usher. Odilma naturis interiors lo minan masuyah. Maybe we could say that that something that's an excessive restraint is not going to be it's not going to be a problem of being a burden. Meaning because the restraint can use a purpose of controlling animal. So even though it's unusual for this animal to wear it, it's still going to be mutter though because it's still doing a purpose. So the Gemara says, Amar the fun of Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Shmuel, the fun of Rabbi Yossi, gave the Teretz this question. He says, Kach Amar Abba, this is my father, says Rabbi Yossi. We just had Rabbi Yossi before. Arba be'emos yotzus ba'asar, four animals are allowed to go out with their bit on Shabbos. Who are those? Hasus are paired with Gemal v'chomor, the horse, the mule, the camel, the donkey, the mute, mai. So what's the statement coming to exclude that they're allowed to go out with the bit? Lav, the mute, gamal, v'chata, maybe it's coming to exclude that a camel is not allowed to go out with the nose ring. So this proves us that one is not allowed to have a camel go out with the nose ring on Shabbos. So to answer our question, so the Gemara rejects this proof. The Gemara says, "Lo lemeute nakab da'asar." No, Rabbi Yossi was coming to exclude that a female camel is not allowed to go out with its bit on Shabbos. However, the situation with regards to a camel going out with a nose ring would not be resolved. So the Gemara says, "Nisa Tana." The Gemara quotes a brisa: "Luvtkim v'gamal yotzim ba'asar." When it comes to these, the donkeys from Luv we mentioned before, and the camel are not allowed to go, are allowed to go out rather with this bit on Shabbos. So the Gemara says now, Ketanai, so the Gemara says that this is a machlokas tanaim, because the following brisa says, in chayotza besugar, that a non-domesticated animal is not allowed to go out with the chain of a chain on Shabbat, the collar on Shabbat. So Chanani Omer, Chanana says, though, yotza besugar, b'chol davar mishtamer, it's allowed to go out with any collar or anything that restrains it on Shabbat. So the Gemara says, b'may askinan, what is this machlokas over here in this brisa? Ilema b'chaya gedola, if you want to say we're talking about a large undomesticated animal like a bear, so then misaki sugar, then obviously this collar is not going to be stopping a bear from going anywhere. V'el b'chayek tanah, but if you're dealing with a small undomesticated animal, right, like a weasel, then nilo sagi la sugar, then a rope is enough. So meaning a rope would be enough. So the Gemara says, elav chato ikum inayu. And again, agav, if the rope was enough, then it would obviously be allowed for such an animal. So that the Tana Kama would have no reason to say that it's usher. That just point out the kash on the second side. So the Gemara says, Ella lav chasal ikum inayu. So it must be that the cat is the machlokas between them. Tana Kama savar, the Tana Kama holds, came in the sagal of Masisa be'alma, since be misna ba'ano, somebody said, since that an ordinary cord is enough for a cat, masuri, then the collar of the rope is going to be considered a burden, a major burden, and it's going to be usher. But chanan sever kol nitriya teja lomin and masuri, and chanan is holding that any excessive restraint is not considered a burden. So the Gemara says, Amar Avuna bar Chiya, Amar Shmuel, halacha ke chananya, the halacha follows chananya. Okay, we're going to see this later. We'll pick up from here tomorrow. Mirza Hashem.